just four scriptures, short ones. Ezekiel chapter 3, and that's page 994 in the JND Bible. Ezekiel chapter 3, and verse 16. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have appointed thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, and thou shalt hear the word from my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt certainly die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, that he may live. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. But if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, Luke 3 and verse 7. This is John the Baptist speaking about. Luke 3, verse 7. He said therefore to the crowds which went out to be baptized by him, Offspring of vipers, who has forewarned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say in yourselves, We have Abraham for our father. And then in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, Acts 17 and verse 30, God therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, now enjoins men that they shall all everywhere repent, because he has set a day in which he is going to judge the habitable earth in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed, giving the proof of it all in having raised him from among the dead. And then just lastly in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. For if the word which was spoken by angels was firm, and every transgression and disobedience received just retribution, how shall we escape if we have been negligent of so great salvation? I don't know how many of you this afternoon received a warning on your phone. The government in its wisdom decided to send a warning to everybody in this country of a perceived or maybe real threat to us. Well, I'm not going to say too much about that, but I want to speak to you about a more important warning. I just read in Ezekiel there because he was told to issue a warning to the house of Israel, and it was incumbent upon him to deliver the message. And I just want to say simply that every gospel preacher has that responsibility. If they know the truth which is contained in this wonderful book, God's holy word, and if they stand before anyone to preach, then they have a responsibility to deliver the message. And that's what the Lord here is saying to Ezekiel, that they have a responsibility to say what God has told them to say. You remember another man in the Old Testament who was told to go, and he ran away. He didn't discharge his responsibility, although God in his mercy and grace brought him round. He had a second chance. But all I want to say about the first scripture is that if I preach the gospel, then I have discharged my responsibility, and it's for you, dear hearer, to act in a responsible way, because God is speaking to you in his holy word. God is gracious and merciful, but he's also holy and righteous. And he is speaking to men. It says in the beginning of Hebrews that God has spoken in many ways. Throughout the history of the world and the history of his people, he's spoken in many ways. But it says that in the last days, and dear friend, we are in the last days now, he's spoken in the person of the Son. And that is Jesus. Jesus is God's last word to you and to me. And so therefore, as I preach the gospel tonight, I'm simply discharging the responsibility, and it's for you, dear friend, to act upon it and to receive it. What are you going to do with the glad tidings? What are you going to do with Jesus? What think ye of Christ? What does he mean to you? Because you know, the moment you hear the word of God, you need to act upon it. And you'll never be the same again. I said that I switch my phone off. Well, you know, some people, they attend the glad tidings and they switch off, don't they? Can't hear. They don't want to hear. Dear friend, tonight I would plead with you, listen to what God has to say in the glad tidings. Don't be oblivious. I nearly read that scripture in Amos, you know. That was another warning, wasn't it? Prepare to meet your God. Dear friend, tonight, I tell you quite simply that in one way or another, you will meet God. I spoke in the reading, I mentioned Richard Dawkins, that well-known atheist. I think he's weakening a bit in his resolve. Someone has well said, haven't they, that there's no such thing as a true atheist. Whether you believe it or not, dear friend, you will meet God. Prepare to meet your God. There's only one way you can do so, dear friend, is having to do with the Saviour that God himself has provided. God is righteous and is holy, and he cannot look upon sin. But you know, it's wonderful that God wishes not the death of a sinner. He wishes you to be saved. And God has loved you so much that he's gone to such lengths. I was reading Genesis 22 recently, and it affected me, you know, that there was that sacrifice. And what it says is that God will himself provide a sacrifice. There was the terrible problem of sin. What are we going to do? God hates sin, and he cannot have it in his presence. And yet he loves the sinner. He loves you and I. What was he going to do? An almost impossible problem to resolve, dear friends. But it says God himself. He took the action. He took the initiative. And that's a wonderful thing, that God has taken the initiative. When we were helpless and hopeless, we couldn't do a thing for ourselves. God himself provided the sacrifice. And he did it in the most wonderful way, by giving his only beloved son. We read John 3:16. We know John 3:16 so well, don't we? But can you actually imagine who was saying that? It was Jesus himself. And what he must have been thinking. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He was talking about his father, about God himself. And there was Jesus saying that. God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved son. But the warning goes out first, dear friends. You know, there would be no point in the gospel if the warning didn't go out to prepare to meet your God. If there was no judgment for sin, if there was no hell, if there was no righteousness, then there would be no gospel. There would be no point in a saviour. The glad tidings is preached from the background of a holy and a righteous and sin-hating God. And your eternal soul, dear friend, will meet God. And there's only two destinations. There's either heaven or hell. Simple as that, dear friend. And the gospel is preached that you might be saved. I read in Luke's gospel This, of course, isn't the gospel of grace, but here was one raised up by God himself, John the Baptist. He says, who has forewarned you to flee from the coming wrath? That's not the gospel of grace exactly. Jesus hadn't been to the cross at that point. But the question is raised. John was giving a warning. And in that way, the gospel preacher is giving a warning. You're to flee. You're to run. And thank God in the gospel, there's a place of refuge, isn't it? Jesus is the refuge. He's the saviour. He's the safe place where you can flee to. Rock of ages. You know that man that was converted? He hid in the storm, didn't he? He hid in the rock. And he wrote that hymn. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. The fury of God's wrath, you know it's real. Man will feel it. You read the end of Revelation, you realize that God will act. People say, and why doesn't God do anything? Dear friend, two things I'd say about that. One, that he will judge the earth. I'll get to that in a minute with Paul's preaching. He will judge the earth. But he's already dealt with it at the cross. Wonderful, isn't it? He's dealt with death and sin and Satan himself. That wrath which the man who wrote the hymn hid from in the Rock of Ages. Who bore that wrath? Who bore the storm? It was Jesus. He bore the storm. The storm of God's wrath. So that you may go free. What a saviour. But John here, John the Baptist, he's very straight, isn't he? And he says, don't say you have Abraham as our father. You know, there's a lot of people think, I was brought up in a Christian family. I went to the meetings for 30 years. I went to church. No, that's no good. Your religion will not save you, dear friend. You need to have to deal with God. You have to deal with Jesus. Don't say you've got a heritage. Don't say I'm privileged. Don't say you think of the Pharisee who said, I thank God I'm not as other men. You know, we like to think that, don't we? That we're just a little bit special. We're just a cut above the rest. Dear friend, Paul says there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's an urgent appeal here to flee. You know, if you flee, it means you've got to get out quickly. You don't just saunter out. You know, there is a coming judgment. God is going to judge the world. And there you need to flee. And I can tell you tonight, there's a person to flee to. Not a place, not a church, not an organization. A person to flee to. Flee to the Lord Jesus, the Saviour. Dear friend, John, you know, he, as I say, this isn't the gospel exactly, it's a question of warning. But John, you know, was pointing to Jesus. He was the forerunner. He was the one that was pointing to the Lord Jesus. And in a sense, that's all the gospel preacher can do, is point you to Jesus, the Saviour that God has provided. So I just read in Acts, I'm probably guilty of preaching from this scripture several times, but I think it's a wonderful scripture. I'd have loved to have been there when Paul was preaching this preaching. And you know, what a crowd of people there were. Some were indifferent, some were interested, some were not interested, just like maybe this company tonight. And yet, you know, Paul is faithful in preaching, and he says there's coming a day. And dear friend, I can tell you, it's a warning. The warning this afternoon went out to everyone in the UK, but this warning goes throughout the whole earth. Every man, woman and child, the warning goes out that God has set a day when he's going to judge the earth. And who is it by? Who's going to judge it? Is it a politician? Is it a king? Is it an organization? Is it a dictator? No, it's God's beloved Son, by the man whom he has appointed. And the proof of it is that he's in glory. We don't preach someone who's dead, we preach someone who's alive and in glory. That man that went to the cross, that suffered in your place and in mine, that took your sins and mine upon himself. You know that storm, I was just speaking about that storm. I can't understand and I can't relate to you the fury, the intensity of God's wrath upon sin. And yet Jesus bore it on his blessed head for you and for me. The storm that burst of thy blessed head is hushed for never now. The work is finished. Jesus is not on the cross. He's not in the grave. He's in glory, risen and glorified. And that blessed man who can be your saviour tonight is coming again to judge the earth in righteousness. What a day that will be. I can hardly understand it. You look at the world, it's totally opposite. We live in a world of corruption. Every day you read the news, there's something more dodgy going on, isn't there? This man will write, a king, it says, shall reign in righteousness. What a day that will be. But that blessed man who will reign in righteousness can be your saviour and mine. And he can save you from this terrible coming wrath, which is a coming upon all men. This is not an idea. This is not a projection. This is not an estimation. God has appointed the day. Dear friend, it is going to happen. This is God's word. And there's everything that's been prophesied in this wonderful book has actually taken place or will do. Nothing has ever disproved that, you know. It's absolutely 100% reliable, dear friend, because it's God's word. And so I would urge you tonight to have to do with the Saviour. You know, Paul preached, there were a few saved, weren't there? It says Paul went out of their midst. Don't know if he ever went back. You maybe have only this last opportunity of hearing the glad tidings. Wouldn't it be good if one person was saved tonight in this company? I just read the last bit in Hebrews. This was a warning. It says in the first beginning of the chapter, we should give heed more abundantly to the things we have heard. Dear friend, I would urge you in the gospel tonight to give heed more abundantly to the things that you have heard. Why? Because there is a coming judgment for sin. But dear friend, God has provided a saviour. God himself has provided the saviour. I think that's lovely, isn't it? What God has done. What could have God done more? He who spared not his own son. You know, Abraham was in type willing to give his son. And yet, God himself provided the sacrifice. What a God. What a God we have to do with. Men, you know, have no idea what God is like, do they? No idea. We can know because if we read his word, it will tell us. If we look at Jesus, it will tell us what God is like. But I just leave that with you. It says, how shall we escape? There is no escape if you reject the glad tidings. It's often been said, hasn't it? Neglection leads to rejection. The note here is interesting. Not merely neglected when presented, but not cared for. Dear friend, do you care for your soul? Do you care that God has operated in that way? Does it mean nothing to you? The Old Testament prophet said, doesn't it mean anything to you, those that pass by? Don't you care? Don't you care for the things of God? Don't you care about what he's done? God has cared infinitely, my dear friend, for your soul and for mine. He's gone to such lengths as providing his only beloved son. How shall we escape? You know, men like to have plenty of options, don't they, in this world? There's no options in the glad tidings. There's only one route to blessing. There's only one door. You know, people like to play these escape room games, don't they? There's only one door to escape. People spend hours trying to find it. Dear friends, when it comes to your soul, there's only one door of escape. That blessed Saviour. He said, I am the door. Him that cometh in by me will be saved. Dear friend, how can you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? What a great salvation it is, dear friend. The forgiveness of sins. You know, John the Baptist and others, they preached faithfully and there was a sense of sin. Then they repented. That's what we need to do. To get blessing, you need to repent of your sins. Part of the gospel, isn't it? Repent and believe. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And then you find you're forgiven. Wonderful, wonderful book. You know, when I was a young man, I got quite depressed about my sins. And I came across a book in a Christian bookshop called Freedom from Guilt. And I read it, and you know, I had a sense I never had before that I was forgiven. You think of the Lord told that parable about the 500 pence debtor and the 50 pence debtor. What does it say? He frankly forgave them both. Didn't make any difference. They were treated both the same. And dear friend, tonight, whatever you've done, it doesn't matter. God will treat you the same because he's righteous. And the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin, it costs the same for you and for me. He frankly forgave them both. So we have the forgiveness of sins. And then we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. How wonderful that is. God, you know how much he gives, dear friend. He's given his only beloved son, but it says, with him, how shall he not give us all things? If you've got Christ, you've got everything. As we were reading in the psalm this afternoon, it's all about the person, isn't it? With him, we have all things. You have nothing. You don't have Jesus as your saviour. You have nothing. The opposite would be true of what we read this afternoon. I'll always want. But if you have Christ, you have everything. With him, God will give you all things. So he'll give you the gift of the forgiveness of your sins. He'll give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And dozens of other things beside. You know, it's a wonderful, what blessings open up to the person that has the Lord Jesus as his Lord and Saviour. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. How? By going to Bible college? No. In Christ. Dear friend, have you got him in your heart? I'll just leave that with you. Dear friend, you might have to do with God. The gospel really is an invitation from God himself to have to do with him. Yes, there's a massive warning and the glad tidings, but there's an answer. You know, the warnings that men give about the world, they don't have an answer. All these supposed things that might be happening to the world, man doesn't have an answer. But the most important thing you can do is to listen to what God is saying. And he's warning that you need to deal with him. But he has the answer. And the answer is in his own blessed Son, the one that suffered and died on Calvary, that you might go free, and that you might be safe for time and for eternity. May you have to do with him tonight, for his name's sake.
Amen.